Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Respected listeners of Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah, we welcome you to this program. It is the interview segment of our spiritual breakfast on this day, the 9th of Safar, 1447. Alhamdulillah, our topic today is on racism. Let's welcome Mufti Sahab. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum ma'ana za'id khan. Jazakallahu khairan.
Mufti Sahab, this topic comes as an important topic after what has occurred in Middelburg. And this is not something that is exclusive to Middelburg, but we see it on a daily occurrence in our masajid, on our domestic affairs. We constantly find this here. Mufti Sahab, racism in the light of Quran, which verses will we look at?
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader Habibuna Mustafa رحمته للعالمين صلى الله عليه وسلم. Before we discuss the topic, 2-3 announcements. Number one is this, that in Sydney, more than 100,000 people, according to some media, were marching. Imagine in Australia, and 90% non-Muslims marching for Palestine. What a disgrace, humiliation for Israel, America, and all these Zionist haramis throughout the world. Humiliation upon humiliation. From there, go to London, and on the underground, you've been to London?
No.
If you go in the underground, the trains and all these things there, so then they allow all different stickers, sometimes from government side, sometimes from this, whatever. So they're saying that he, Starmer, the Prime Minister there, and Lemmy, the Minister of Foreign Affairs, must be charged for genocide. Their photos, everything there on the underground. So humiliation upon them as well, because they are the ones who gave, must remember, this land of Palestine to the Jutlas. Hence, they must pay for the reparations and everything else and take the Jutlas wherever the hell they want to go to. So that's two. Third one that's very concerning for me and you, Mona Zahid, and all the Muslims of South Africa and the world, but more so South Africa. The ACDP, you know, the African Christian Democratic Party, their leader, we all know they are 100% for Israel and pro-Zionist and everything. That much we all agree on. So he made a claim, I think I sent it to you all, that Iran wants to buy or rent a piece of land here in Chwani, in Pretoria, for Islamic Cultural Center, you see. So they will start there and then they will move to other provinces and so forth and so on. So obviously he's using the Israeli Zionist agenda and saying that they will use it for terrorism and so forth. So you, the ACDP leader, remember the biggest terrorists in the world are Israel, stealing everything of the Palestinians, occupying everything of the Palestinians and so forth for almost 80 years. And America also is the biggest accomplice in this war crimes and genocide and ethnic cleansing and crimes against humanity. Our concern, greater concern, is if they get permission from government to do all this, definitely they'll be spreading their Shiaism and they'll be spreading their corrupted beliefs and so forth. And you know, always I told you that one sentence in Urdu, Aurat aur daulat ne ummat ko barbaad kar diya. Aurat aur daulat ne ummat ko tabah kar di. Women and money, they destroy nations and generations, remember that. So money they got, remember their oil and what have you. And then women, so the muta. So they'll bring ladies here or they'll get ladies here, bribe them up and make muta, prostitution. So you must remember that. And it's happening already. So you must understand that we need to name them, shame them and nail them. We can't be like these Maulvis and the Jamiats and them who are sellouts and who are traitors to Islam and scholars for dollars, who can't even make a public statement against the Kufar, Shias and so forth. So these are things that we should know what is really happening under our own noses. Remember that. You just go between here, Lens, and Roshni. So you must remember you will find a place walkable. You know, you will see they have an institute there. 90% of the ulama of Lens, 90%, 80% of the ulama of Roshni don't even know about these things there. Jamiatul Mustafa. I met them and they give me a card also. So you must remember this type of thing. The haramis, these people. We only wake up. You see, we are not people who are proactive. You understand? We are reactionaries. You must have, when things finish happen, then we wake up. After the horse has bolted, now we want to lock the stable and all that. We very, you understand? Very little thought process and thinking goes into the thing. You see that? So that is what the three. Let's start. Which is our first guidance? The Quran Sharif. Quran Sharif tells us in Surah 49, Surah Hujurat. But the ulama gave the name for this surah, Suratul Akhlaq, to teach us our morals, our manners, our character, and so forth. So Almighty Allah is teaching us, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, la yaskhar qawmun min qawmin, asa ay yakunu khayran minhum. That one nation should not be mocking another nation based on their value, based on their complexion, based on their, you understand, language and so forth, whatever it is. So just because of that, so you say that we are superior like the whiteys and so forth. So maybe the people you are mocking and you are like, you know, demonizing or whatever you, Asa yakunu khayran minhum, by Allah, they are better than you. So only Allah knows who's better and who's not better and so forth. So therefore, Islam, today I sent out a very strange message. And see on your groups, you will see it. You know, AI, artificial intelligence, was asked the question, if you had to choose a religion, which religion would you choose? He said, I'll choose Islam. It's all embracing. They have a constitution that is preserved. There's no superstition and confusion and so forth. And so. And he said, if I was a human, and you know, body and soul, I would definitely revert to Islam. So, I mean, that is your system. You just fill the data in and then it responds to you. So he said, there are so many all these religions, but the best religion and the authentic religion is Islam. So there you have it yourself, from your systems and so forth. So the truth of the matter, if we speak, you see, we have taken many, many cultural issues and passed it off as Islam. That is our trouble. And especially we Indians, and that we are guilty of this 80%, 90%. So Quran Kareem speaks about Surah 49, verse 11. So you, as a qawm, as a people, nation, should not consider yourself superior compared to others. Now, if you look at South Africa's history, now you were too young to understand all this, but we went through the whole system. So the NETS, the Nationalist Party, came into power in 1948 in South Africa. And then 1990, 91, 92, then the Klerk and all this, you see, the ANC will be disbanded and Mandela and them will be released unconditionally and all that. The whole landscape changed. So you can say it lasted from 1948, you see, right up to 92, like that, 91, 90, like that. So all this you must remember, and then they had elections in 94, and then they were kicked out and so forth from power. So the point is that, see, easy example that will resonate with the listeners is this. When it rains, you have your gardens. So your grass is green, your roses are red, and everything else, you see the kaleidoscope of colors, but it's all from the same rain. You will see the flowers are blue, green, yellow, pink, and what have you understood. And you marvel at the Qudrat and the Qudrat ka Karishma, the manifestation of the power of Allah. So Almighty Allah Jalla Wala speaks of these issues here in chapter 49 and verse number 11. In chapter 49, verse 13, I'll translate that for you just now. But before we do that, you see Almighty Allah Jalla Wala teaches us His signs and His symbols, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ. The whole page is like that, you must remember. In chapter 30, Surah Rum, verses number 20, right to 25. So Allah says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ خَلْقُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Allah Ta'ala, His sign, symbol, He created the celestial creation, terrestrial creation, the heavens, the earth, the land, and the sand, and the lakes, and the oceans. واختلاف ألسنتكم وألوانكم. Me, I don't know all the centimeters and millimeters. Me, I'm an old timer, you see. So I still speak in inches and all that. So take from here, from the top of your forehead, right? So come downwards like this to your chin. You know, if you go, that from the top of your head, that is from where the hair grows, right till here, till the bottom of your chin. So how many inches will it be? 6 inches, 8 inches, 9, depending on the person. So imagine now we are 8 million people, 8 billion people, 8 billion people on this earth, right? But every person, remember, his identity, his features are different. Hmm. Now, if you just think now, and you only got limited space, understood? So you only got the 7-8 inches. Which artist, which professor, which scientist, which, you understand, doctor can do that? Nobody can do that. So that is, now imagine, go back to Nabi Adam alayhi salam's time. So how many billion, trillion, zillion people Allah created? Then you go to the animal kingdom, then you go to the other kingdom and all that. So all this diversity in unity, Allah is showing us. Somebody is fair in complexion, somebody is middle in between, somebody is dark and all that. Then your languages, you go to India alone, there's over 1,000 languages and dialects and so forth. So, وَاخْتِلَافُ أَلْسِنَتِكُمْ وَأَلْوَانِكُمْ. Chapter number 30, verse number 22. You see that? So, we should take heed from all this. So, Allah addresses all of us, you understand? Ya, you are nas. O humankind, we created you from one male and one female. Min zakarin wa unsa. Nabi Adam alayhi salatu salam. And we created you from Sayyida Hawa radiallahu ta'ala anha. And what do we find? That waja'alnakum shu'uban wa qabail. We made you into different nations and different tribes. Lita'arafu, not litafakharu. So that you recognize one another. Not that so you then become proud and arrogant and so forth. And twice Allah Ta'ala mentions these type of things here. But Allah, the criteria is what? Inna akramakum indallahi yatqakum. So the most noble of you is the one who has the greatest taqwa. Ya ladina amanu taqullah. How many places Quran says? After iman, taqwa. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهِ. If you have real taqwa, Allah will teach you. Directly, Allah will become your teacher. So imagine that. It don't mean you'll get wahi. If you call ilham, you'll get inspiration. So that Allah Ta'ala will help us on this journey and so forth and so on. So the lesson we all must learn is this. You must remember that all that Allah has his own criteria. Then open the hadith of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Muslim Sharif, in Mishkat Sharif, in various ahadith, Musnad Ahmad and so. Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam is giving people the international charter, the international constitution for humanity posterity. La fadla li arabiyyin ala ajamiyyin. There is no virtue of the Arab over the non-Arab. La fadla li abyad ala aswad. There's no virtue for the white person compared to the dark person. And vice versa. Illa bit taqwa. It's authentic hadith. So this is what we have failed to do. Be honest about it, Mawazahid. In our Indian society, I have a daughter, right? So now, an African guy will come to propose to her. And he's a alim, he's a hafiz, he got taqwa. And the Indian guy will come, and remember, he don't even read Salat properly, and but a big shooter, and a big thriller, and a rich guy. The normal Indian family, to who will they give their daughter?
Of course, to the Indian.
You see? So I'm not saying now, we must all get married, interracial and all, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that how entrenched it is in our society. You understand? So now we go back. We gave you Quran, we gave you Sunnah. Go to Sahaba. So Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu was very fair in complexion. So one day, Sayyidina Bilal is giving adhan. He said that you, that good thing my father didn't see you. You black crow giving adhan here. You see, Arab nationalism. Arab supremacy, white is right, what Trump and them also teach nowadays, the haramis. So like that, you see, like the Jutlas, the biggest racist haramis are them. So this type of, worse than us Indians also. So remember this, so then it was a dagger in the heart of Sayyidina Bilal. So Sayyidina Bilal cried. He went to Mustafa, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, complained, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this Abu Dharr, he said all these unsavory comments and all. The Master, alayhi salatu wasalam, summoned him for Abu Dharr. You, Bilal, wait here. You can be Abu Dharr. What did you say? He said, yes, it's true, I said this. He said, Innaka mru'un lafika jahiliya. You are a person, you still got the traits of jahiliya in you. You are an absolute jahil, that you read all the same statements. You see, so this is how you make islah. Now what happens, Mawlana Zahid? This Abu Dharr knows, this is not a concord, constitutional court. This is not Supreme Court. This is not some high court. This is the court of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ya to iman al-kufr ka masla hai. That if you're not careful, you might lose your iman. He laid straight on the floor. He laid down. And he said, oh Bilal, I apologize to you. I ask you pardon and forgiveness. Put your foot on me. And that is how then I will know. You see. So we must take lesson. There's a book called Al-Masail al-Jahiliya. So there you will find this incident and all these type of things. Take 3-4 other examples that are rife and rampant in our society. They got the imam, right, one Indian guy, and you got the African guy from South Africa, Soweto, or Kwamashu, or where, or is an import, recruit, you see, from Malawi, or yeah. What do you think the imam, they started same time, they got same qualification. The Indian imam, how much he'll be paid, and the African imam, how much he'll be paid? There'll be gross difference between the two. You must remember that. Why? Because we go, see, ta'assub. You call all this ta'assub. No chapter in Mishkat Sharif. And tu'inahum ala zulmin. That you know they are wrong and yet you want to help them. So this is what we, this is called asabiya. And this is haram in Islam. So this is what we should be taking stock of and realizing the weaknesses in our society. One. Two, mu'azzin. You spoke about, you understand, masjid and all. So you see our muazzin. Be honest about it. You tell them muazzin, but what work they doing? They're not giving adhan only. They have to clean the toilets, clean the masjid, listen to everybody's nonsense. Some lighting kids come, they'll piss there, urinate there in the masjid and all these kind of things. It happened in our masjid. Understood? So who has to clean all that? Yeah, it happened now, Jamima. The way I shouted it, I told you, you must be in this thing here. You understood? You bring your lighting gear, you just open the fire brigade and start firing up. You see? So like that. So we use them, we abuse them, and pay them peanuts. You know when you pay peanuts, what you will get? You see that? So that is what, the tragedy. Two. Third one is how do we deal with our employees? One is a white guy, one is an Indian guy, one is a black guy. So what do you think? The black guy and the white guy will never be treated the same. 90%. You must remember that in the mind of the Muslim, Arab Muslim, Indian Muslim, majority Muslim, white is right and west is the best. And all these others, well, they're all second class, third class. You know Jeddah Airport. Now you don't know. Jeddah Airport, and it was so entrenched by the kafir, the Jutlas, that what they did is they told, you understand, the Saudis, that time, whatever, that, you know what, that we're going to use this gate here and so forth, that we will come and we'll have our queue. So for the Americans, they should make a special queue in the old Jeddah Airport. I saw it myself. And for the British, they should make a special queue. The rest, you ajnabi, you go stand that side. Understand? So what the hell is all that? You're supposed to be in Saudi Arabia and all this. You're still worshipping the whites and so forth and so on. You see, that you call mental slavery, that you call al-ghazwul fikri, that is what you call ihsas-e-kamtari. You suffer from the inferiority complex. You think that white is right, and you think you must remember that West is the best, and so forth. All these guys came from South Africa, and Pakistan, and India, and Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, Nepal. They're all third-class people, man. Put them there. Let them wait 4 or 5 hours or so. It should happen like that. You must remember this. Now I believe in the new airport, things are much better. But all this still happens, you must remember, in our Muslim country. See, another example I give you. Mozaid, you've been to many masjids in Lens, many other places. Now you're going to lecture and whatever. So, did you observe? You must have a very observant eye. This morning I made announcement here, Fajr time in Sufi masjid. Brothers, some of us are reading Salat very good, but the way we're making sujood and sajda is totally wrong. Just Nabi alayhi salatu salam gave a very stern warning. La yaftari zira'ayhi ka zira'il kalb. Not when you go into sujood, then your arm, your forearm, your elbow is on the ground. That is the way of the dogs, they're doing it. The hadith sahih, authentic hadith. I said we must learn how Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed salat. Hadith in Bukhari Sharif, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. See how I performed the salat and so forth. So that is what we are saying, you understood. So now if you look at masjid, Hayya ala salah, Hayya ala al-falah, all that is happening. Now the serfs are coming. Now this Malawi guy is standing in the serf. This guy from Zimbabwe, Zambia is standing, African. You got the choice of standing on that side next to him, or you got a choice to go to the other side. What most Muslim Indians will do in the masjid, what they will do, Mama? Huh?
Intelligently, slyly move to the other side.
They won't stand next to that African person. I saw it so many times. I myself, with Allah's help, deliberately I go stand next to them. Oh, sometimes they feel shy to come inside. I call them, I say, come on, get inside the first serve. Anybody ask you who, you will say, I said so. You don't understand? See, there's lighting keys. They all know their positions now. I get very happy. So small tung-tung keys, you understand? Jelly thoughts, we call it, you understand? So now it is a gap on the right side, left side. They just go in there. Allahu Akbar. You understand? Small lighting, 6, 7 years old in the first serve and all. So they ask them what? They say, Ikhi told us, we must just fill in the gaps. Suddul khalal. They won't go in the hadith. Otherwise, there's gaps everywhere. You understand? So the light is for them. What they pass Kamlo Day with the biggest distinction, with small lighting gaps, and in the first serve. For them is a distinction. You must remember that. So that is how. You see, to give examples, speak, we all can do that. You must remember this kind of thing. There's nothing big in that. There's a huge problem, micro, macro, everywhere in the world. You see that? Whether we in our families, whether in South Africa, Africa, and the whole world. You see. So now the problem comes, how do you solve it? That's the main thing. So solving the problem is this way. Quran Kareem teaches us in chapter 13, verse number 11. Inna Allah la yughayyiru ma biqawmin hatta yughayyiru ma bianfusim. You know Rumi and them, they write all this poetry and that. So one place I read something, I don't involve in this thing, sometimes I just... So he said the problem with the world is everybody wants to change the world, but nobody wants to change themselves. I want to change this, you know, but I myself, I don't want to change. So how are you going to bring a better world then? You see? So Allah taught us this lesson more than 1400 years ago. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. I give big lectures there, say your income must be halal and tayyiba, but I myself am selling drugs, alcohol, Allah forbid. You see, so this one example. So we must united ummah, but when the African is in a masjid, oh, you stand the serf, then you don't understand next to him. So what happened to your unity? So 100 examples like that. So we must know all these artificial distinctions that we have brought. Is garku aag lag gayi ghar ki chirag se. That we have, you know, you play soccer. Mona, you play soccer in your life.
Chi, I used to play.
Right, very good.
Then we lost interest in it.
Yeah, so that's good. So you must remember that it's good when you were young, you were playing, now you lost interest, so both good. So remember that. So then when you score, you don't score own goals. You score goals against the opposition. If they score own goal, they'll kick you out of the match. They'll see you the liability. Isn't it so? So today, me and you and the Ummah, we are scoring on goal, all 90%, 80% of the time. And therefore, people now, they think that Islam cannot solve the problems. Islam is there to solve the problem, will solve the problem, but we have to love that Islam. We have to learn the Islam. We have to love that Islam, practice on it. Then we propagate it as well, then the people will say yes. That these people are the devoted, dedicated, sincere Muslims, and Allah Jalla Wala give us tawfiq and your darne ka maqam hai. You see, open, you must remember the marasil of Imam Abu Dawood. So there the hadith is mentioned about Imam Abu Dawood says that the amount of asabiyya, prejudice we have, biasness we have, so in our hearts, you know, that we must just support our families and so forth. So in a case like that, what will happen? That Allah Ta'ala will send the angels, and what they will do, they will expunge that amount of iman from the heart of that person. Open marasil of Abu Dawood. So you see, when we say iman is getting weaker, our vices, our jaundiced eyes, you understood, all these kind of things, yeah. We already judge the person before you can meet the guy. You see, this guy is not a mufat, yeah. This guy is not a, you understand, this correction money and all this. So that is how Islam will solve this problem. Your condition will not change until you change within yourself. You see? Why Nabi alayhi salam married so many women? The tribal warfare was so much there. I get married in your tribe. There are many reasons, but one of the reasons is this also. To forge and bring the unity in the ummah, you see. When I marry a Surti lady, a Surti marries a Malay, Malay marries a Maiman. So what you going to do? You will build this ummah. But you say, I can't marry you, I can't marry your daughter because you're a Shafi, Maim, Hanafi. So you crack in your head, you must remember that. If you, I don't know if you went Cape Town, you understand, Burkab, you'll see all the old masjids there. So you ask them, what is this? Shafi Masjid. I keep quiet. I say, what is this? Hanafi Masjid. So I said, why? You say that the Hanafi said we can't read in the Shafi, but we built our own masjid. We crackpots, you understand, eating coconuts and going nuts sometimes. So, but it happened. We can't say it never happened. So you must remember this kind of thing. Even today you will find people. How can I marry them? They Shafi, they Malikis, we Hanafis. See, jahalat and ignorance. So all stem from that, that we want to remain racist, we want to be, because we are brought up like that and so forth. So all these issues are part of racism, inshallah. Therefore, Nabi alayhi salam, that taught us, إِذَا خَطَبَ إِلَيْكُمْ مِمَّنْ تَدْوَنَ دِينَهُ وَخُلُقَهُ. When someone proposes for your daughter, the deen is good and the character is good, then get your daughter married. فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلْ تَكُنْ فِتْنَةٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَفَسَادٌ عَرِيثٌ. There'll be fitna and chaos, you can't believe. See, the zamana we're living in. So yesterday, a Christian lady, she said, me and my Muslim boyfriend, we're moving around 9 months, 8 months. Now we're going to get married. I said, but you can't get married to him. She said, but the Quran says that a Muslim man can marry a Christian lady. You see, the lady, she said. So that guy, he will use that Quranic verse. That for his own. You can show him fatwa. He say, I don't interest it. Quran said it permissible. You see. When people, their minds are made up, they want to practice on the loopholes, they want to do this, they want to do this. So I posed one question to her. I said, okay, white lady, you know, so that her profile was there. And profile, status, what you call it, what you will see. What you call it?
See, a profile.
Yeah, profile. Now, me, I don't understand too much of this. So anyway, so I asked her, okay, hypothetically, that now you get married to him. After 1-2 years, you have children. You, I'm asking you as a mother, what you will teach the children? You will teach them Islam, you will teach them Christianity. Whole debate got finished. You think Islam is not allowed, we must get our sons married to Christian lady, Jewish lady, and then our children become Jews and Christian. I mean, little bit sense we should also have, you know, and this type of thing. That was a means of da'wah that they must enter into the fold of Islam. Not that we must make our children Christian and Jews and so forth. Sometimes people don't even understand what is the message of Quran, or they don't want to understand. So we should be very careful of this type of thing. Shall I read all the programs and that?
Jazakumullah khairan to Mufti Saab and to all our listeners as well. From us in the team, Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.